Good evening. It is a privilege to be here with you this evening to share with you from God's Word and just to spend time in worship with you as you come to the conclusion of your missions conference. I've been asked to mention a couple of prayer requests, and I want to do that before we go to God's Word together. But let me say, first of all, that we appreciate you all so much. Second Presbyterian Church was one of the first churches to come alongside of us with support as they heard about the ministry that God had called us to in Cherokee, North Carolina, and we do appreciate it so much. And as important as your financial support is, please know that we believe that your prayer support is even that much more important, because we could not do what God has called us to do. We could not have walked through this last year and few months without the faithful prayer support of God's people behind us. So truly, we do thank you for that, and we appreciate it so very, very much. In the way of prayer requests, let me share first a praise with you. And that is that at this point, we stand at between 79 and 80%. You know, I'm a stickler for numbers, so I say 79.8%. My wife likes to round things up. She says, now we're at 80% of our needed support to be fully supported. So we praise God for that. We would ask you to pray for us as we continue with our support raising, that God would bring that final 20% in. We're praying that he would do so before the end of the year, so that as we begin 2015, we would be able to hit the ground running, if you will, fully with the ministry that God has called us to. We would ask you to pray for our children, our two youngest children in particular. We have four children. Our two oldest children are in college here in South Carolina, and I know, much to the chagrin of some, our oldest son is a junior at the University of South Carolina in Columbia. And I say that for those of you who are Clemson fans, but would ask you to pray for him. Our daughter is still living in Newberry, and she's attending Piedmont Technical College, pursuing actually her second two-year degree. So we would appreciate your prayers for them. But our two younger children, Jonathan and Katie, they wanted to come with us this evening. They wanted to be here, but Ruth and I are actually flying out to Washington State tomorrow, so it was better for them to be with my sister and not have to figure all that out. But Jonathan is 15, Katie is 13, and one of the greatest needs that we have for them is for them to be able to find some friends. It's been very difficult for them in Cherokee. They're not easily accepted by the young people there in Cherokee because, as the Cherokee would say, we're the white folks. And so it's been very difficult for them. So pray that God would lead us to a church that would have a solid youth group where they would hear the Word of God presented and where they would be able to build relationships with other believing youth. We think they need that very desperately. Pray also for Ruth and I as we homeschool them. That's how we are educating them as we live in Cherokee, and so we have started the new year, and so we would ask for you to pray that God would give us wisdom and to give us patience as we continue with another year of educating our children. And finally, would ask you to pray for us and for God's protection upon us. First of all, for spiritual protection. We are in a different culture, in a different society, a culture that is very animistic in their traditional worship practices, worshiping spirits and so forth. And I won't go into things here tonight, but there are, trust me when I tell you that there are spiritual things that take place that we're not used to, having come from the church in Newberry and pastoring there, things that we didn't see, that we didn't experience, but they truly are. There, Satan is alive and well, and he has many, many people in bondage there in Cherokee. So pray for us. As we get more into the ministry, we expect those spiritual attacks to increase, and just pray that God would give us strength and wisdom as we encounter those, and that he would give us his protection. Pray for our physical protection as well. There's been a rash of break-ins in Cherokee. The camp was broken into shortly before the summer, and so folks are a little nervous around there as far as the break-ins and stuff. You know, we don't have a lot of things, and we've learned as we've lived there that the things that we do have, the earthly possessions, they're not worth a whole lot, but that it's our stuff. Just pray that that God would put his hand of protection upon the camp and upon the place where we live as well, just to watch over us. So those are some items for prayer that you could pray for us, so that I think, as Robert said, you wanted to be able to pray intelligently, so hopefully that will help you to pray in more intelligently for us as we minister for God there in Cherokee. I want us to turn our attention this evening to Genesis chapter, excuse me, Genesis chapter 12, a very familiar passage, and would ask you to follow along as I read this evening from Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to be reading the first 9 verses. Would you hear God's word? This is his holy and inerrant word. It is that which he has given to us as a rule for faith and for life. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Would you join me as we pray and ask for God's blessing upon his word? Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to gather together here in this place. And Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, to apply the truths of your word to our lives this night. Lord, that we might be challenged in our relationship with you, that we might be encouraged in that relationship, and Father, that you might move us forward, that you would grow us through the preaching of your word this night. Father, would you, I pray, speak through me this evening to proclaim your truth, to proclaim your word in a way that you are glorified and that you are honored. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this evening by asking you a question. As you think about Abraham, or Abram as he's known here in this passage, how much faith does it take to step out in faith like Abram did? How much faith does it take to obey the call of God? When God lays the call upon a life and he says to the one he's calling, "I want you to go out from a place that is familiar to you, and I want you to leave behind all that is familiar, and I want you to go to a new place." How much faith does that take? And if God were to place that call upon your life, here's the harder question. Would you willingly obey and step out in faith as Abram did when God called him so many years ago? It is true that Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, is held up as an example of faith. Paul talks about him in Romans. He's mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one of those in what's been termed as the great hall of faith. As we read these verses describing Abraham, we tend to think of him as some kind of superhero, as some kind of super saint, if you will. Someone who had a faith that we could never attain to because, well, we're not Abraham. But I want to encourage you this evening not to think of Abram as some kind of super saint, because he was not. Abram was a man, a human being, just like you and me. And Abram had his faults, and we don't have to go very far to see some of the faults of Abram. A little further on in chapter 12, as Abram, and we won't read these verses, but as he went into Egypt, he asked his wife to say that she was his sister because he was afraid that they would see her and see her beauty and that they would kill him in order to take her, that Pharaoh would kill him to take her as his wife. Abram listened to the voice of Sarah, his wife, and took another woman as his wife in order to bear a son. And then a little later on, he again asked Sarah to lie and say that she was his sister in order to spare his own life. Now, friends, that does not sound like a super saint to me, but it sounds like a man who has fears and has struggles in life, just like we do. So take your ideas of Abraham as a super saint and put them away for now, and let's think about this man that God has called to step out in faith and to live in obedience to him. As we think about these verses tonight, I want us to consider, first of all, the sending of Abraham by God, the submission of Abraham, and then finally the security of Abraham through God's promise. So let's think first about the sending of Abram. God says to Abram here in these verses, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God begins by giving Abram a command. He called Abram into action. God did not give Abram a suggestion. He didn't sit down with Abram and have a conversation with him and say, "You know, Abram, I think it's time for you to move from this place. I think maybe you should think about relocating. Tell me what you think about that." God didn't give Abram that option. He didn't give him that opportunity. God simply commanded Abram and said to him, "Go. Go to the place where I'm going to show you." And as God called Abram to go, there was a triple object, if you will, in God's calling. God called Abram to go from his country. He called him to go from his homeland. And he called him to go from his father's house. Now, I want you to think about those three things for just a moment. And think that in each of those, as God calls Abram to go, what he calls him to leave behind becomes more and more narrow in scope as God moves forward. In other words, God moves from the easier things to leave behind, from the more difficult things to leave behind. God says to Abram, go from your country. Now, you know, many missionaries consider going to another country an adventure. They like the idea of going to a new culture and having to learn a new language. They like the idea of being someplace that they've never been before. Now, I have to tell you, that's not the truth with all missionaries. As you may or may not know, we just got back in July, the end of July, from a trip to Belgium. We were there for training with Mission to the World for, cross-cultural ministry internship training with Mission to the World. So we had to spend the whole month of July in Belgium. We thought until March that we were headed to New York City for that. Now, we can handle New York City. They may talk a little differently above the Mason-Dixon line, but it's still the same country. We could communicate very easily. Now, I'm one that I sort of like the adventure. I've been to Europe before. I loved Europe. I was there as a missionary back in 1984. But my wife said, I'm not so sure about this thing. And I may get in trouble after this tonight, but she said, I'm not so sure about this. She said, I can't speak the language that they speak in Belgium. And I'm really quite comfortable here in the United States, and I'm not really sure we need to do this. But God said, yeah, I want you to go. So God took us to Belgium, leaving behind the comfort of being in a place where we understood the language, where we could communicate very easily. Even to the mission that he's called us to, we speak the language because very few people speak Cherokee language. Their language that they communicate in is English. And so we have no trouble there. There's no barrier there as far as the language is concerned. But that adventure comes many times at the cost of leaving everything that is familiar. God called Abram not only to leave his country, but he called him to leave his homeland. And that means leaving behind things that are even more familiar. Things like sweet tea. Things like grits and being able to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and things like that. Being able to worship in a church with a language that we understand. You know, very often we take that for granted. The fact that we're able to walk into church every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening and through the midweek service. And we're able to understand everything that takes place. And we're able to actively participate in worship. But there are many missionaries when they're called to go into foreign cultures. For the first year, and some of them for the first couple of years, worship in churches where they do not understand the language, where they can't communicate, where they can't sing the hymns because they do not know the language. Many of them are called to eat things that are very strange to them, things that they might perhaps consider being grotesque, and yet that's what God has called them to. God called Abram to leave not only his country and his homeland, but he called him to leave his father's house. And perhaps that's one of the hardest things that many missionary families have to give up. They leave not only their familiar surroundings, but they leave many times the support group that they've had for many years. And that's the family that has stood with them all of their lives. If there are grandparents involved, it even becomes more difficult. When we were in Belgium, there were seven other families there with us. One of those families was leaving straight from Belgium and going to the field in Bulgaria. They weren't going to have an opportunity to go back home and see their families one more time. And this family, they have three small children. And in fact, when they left Belgium, they didn't even have a place to live in Bulgaria. An apartment had not yet been secured. And yet they were willing to step out in faith and to go because God had called them to go, realizing that they may never again see some family members this side of heaven, realizing that going into a culture like that and into a country so far from home was going to keep them separated in so many ways. And yet, like Abram, they were willing to step out in faith, to answer God's call, and to go. For us, as we went to Cherokee, it was interesting because we had spent 10 years in Newberry, where I had pastored Smyrna Presbyterian Church. How many of you are comfortable in the place where God has you in your life right now? Comfortable in your home, comfortable in your career, comfortable in everything about your life. That's where we were. We were comfortable. My wife will tell you, she enjoyed being a pastor's wife. She knew the routine. And she says one of the things she likes most about it, or liked most about it, was that when something would break in the church manse, all she had to do was call the deacons, and her husband didn't have to do anything because I'm not much of a handyman, and the deacons would make sure it was taken care of. But God takes us out of that which is familiar and that which is comfortable. He takes us out of our comfort zones, and He calls us into places where we have to learn to walk in greater obedience and in greater trust to Him. And I have to tell you that I have served as a pastor for 20 years, but the last year and a half in particular, as we've lived in Cherokee, North Carolina, has been one of the greatest times of growth in my life personally, as I have had to learn to trust even more and more on God on a daily basis. Trusting Him because there is no routine. Trusting Him because it's a whole new thing to step out and to begin raising support, asking folks to come alongside of you to support you in the ministry that God has called you to. So many things that are new to us, but it has been such a growing experience for me, an experience that I thank God for every day. Because my faith has been stretched and my faith has been strengthened. And when we're willing to step out, when we're willing to go in obedience to God's call, God will give us the ability to obey, and He will give us the faith, and He'll stretch that faith and grow that faith in ways that we never thought possible. With this command to go, there's no clear direction given. Abram is simply told to go to the land that God would show him. He had no idea where the journey would take him. The only thing made clear is that he was to go. Today, when God begins to reveal His plan or to place His call upon the life of a believer that He might be calling out to missions, that call often begins with uncertainty, not knowing where God might lead, not knowing where God might want us to serve. I became a believer in 1981, and by 1983, I was convinced that God was calling me into the ministry and that He was calling me into missions. And then in 1984, I was sent on my first missions trip to Germany for the summer with Greater Europe Mission to live there and to minister there for the summer. And as I came back, I never lost that sense of calling. That was in 1983. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that God made clear to me and to Ruth where it is that He would have us to serve. You see, we may not always know what God has in store, and most of the time He doesn't lay out the plan. Wouldn't it be nice if God took and laid out the plan for us that we knew each step that He wanted us to take, so we would know in advance when certain things would be happening. We may think that it would be nice, but you see, to know all of that would erase much of the need for faith. and much of the need for trust. God does not show us those things, just like he did not show Abraham where he would go, but simply called him to go to the place that he would show him. And one of the prayers that we have prayed most often, especially as we began this process of looking to go to Cherokee with Mission to the World, was, Lord, this is where we think you're leading us, but we're not sure. And so what we're going to do is we're going to begin taking the steps that are necessary to make this move. If you want us to go, if this is what you're calling us to, then we would simply ask you to open the doors. But if this is not what you would have us to do, then we would ask you to close the doors. At any time in the process, if you would close the door, then we will not force it open, but we'll obediently stay where you have us now. But God opened every door that we walked through, and through other people made it clear that he was calling us to go and to serve as missionaries in Cherokee. As God sends Abram out, he gives him a promise. God says that he will make Abram a great nation. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Abram, we're told, was 75 years old, and his wife Sarah was barren. He had no offspring, and yet God says to him, I will make you a great nation. That is a great promise. But isn't it true that every nation must begin with an ancestor, and then with the offspring of that ancestor? And Abram had no offspring at this point. Once, humanly speaking, with him being 75 years old, once he died, that opportunity for offspring, that opportunity to become a great nation, would never take place. But God says, I will make your name great. And if Abram's name is to be great, it will not be through any self-effort. If Abram is to be made into a great nation, it will not be because of anything that Abram does, but his name will be great, and he will become a great nation as a result of a gift of God and not as a result of human achievement. God goes on to say to Abram, I will make you a blessing. The blessing of God would not be turned in only on Abram, but he would be both the receptacle and the transmitter of God's divine blessing. As God says, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God gives to Abram a great promise. And here is the promise of God to be, if you will, a missionary God. God began with Abram and his wife Sarah, but he did not limit it to just them and to their immediate offspring. God promises Abram that he would bless all of the families of the earth, that there would be men from every tribe, tongue, and nation that would worship God because of Abram's faith, because of his obedience to God, and God working through him and blessing him in that way. And we see fulfillments of this promise. Even later on in Genesis, Laban says to Jacob, the Lord has blessed me because of you. Potiphar understood that his house was being blessed because of Joseph. And in fact, it was not only the family of Jacob that was blessed by Joseph being in Egypt, but the entire nation was saved during the severe famine. And we know that the ultimate fulfillment of that blessing comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises to bless every nation through Abraham because of his obedience. God called Abram to go, and it took a great act of faith to step out and to follow God in obedience, to leave behind everything that was familiar, everything that was important, to follow God. And then, very briefly, we see the submission of Abram. God called him to go, And Abram submitted to the call of God. Abram heard the call of God, and he left. And it says in verse 4, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and he took Sarah his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh." Now the Canaanite was then in the land. Abram did not know where he was going. Abram did not know where the road might lead, but he obeyed and followed the call of God. Abram packed up his family, he packed up his servants and all of his belongings, and began on a journey that God would take him on, trusting that God would provide. Again, I ask you, if God were to place that call upon your life, you know, one of the things I often hear and I often heard as a pastor, particularly from folks who were retired, they would say, "Well, you know, I'm too old. I'm too old to go and do anything for God today." But I don't believe that's true. I believe God, as long as He gives us life, as long as He gives us strength, God will give us the ability to serve Him if He calls us to serve Him in a certain way. We simply need to be willing to respond in obedience. Is your faith that strong? If God calls, even if He tells you where He wants you to go, are you willing to go and be like Abram? To be certain, Abram's faith, it had its weak moments, as we mentioned a few moments ago. But in the midst of all of that, Abram remained faithful to God, and he ultimately trusted in the promises of God. He followed God wholeheartedly, doing what many would say is crazy. You know, when we accepted the call of mission to the world to go to Cherokee, I had some fellow believers literally say to me, "This just doesn't make sense. Are you really sure this is what you want to do?" I had one young man who's actually married to my niece, and he's in ministry. And he said, "I just don't understand." He said, "Man, you've got it all. You've got a church. You know, you've got a home that's provided for you by the church. You have a steady income that's provided by the church. And it just doesn't make sense that you would want to leave all of that and go do what you want to do." And we even had dear friends, part of the congregation at Smyrna, that said to us, "Wouldn't you rather stay? Wouldn't you rather stay here and be our pastor than to leave and go somewhere else?" And my response to them simply was, if God calls a man to go, and he does not go, he'll be miserable. And if I were to stay and remain as your pastor when I am convinced that God has called us to a new ministry, then I do not believe God would continue to bless the ministry of the church, because I would be disobedient, and he would not continue to bless the work that's going on here. God calls us to step out in faith. And I have to admit, there were times that I thought about it and I thought, "Lord, this just really doesn't make sense." But God calls us to go, and we need to be willing to step out in faith and to go, and to be a blessing to the nations ourselves. Isn't that the purpose of ministry? To take the gospel, the message of the gospel, to those who need to hear the message of the gospel, who need to hear the truth. to hear that there is a God of grace, a God of mercy, and a God of love. Indeed, He's a God of judgment, because He's a holy God and He's a righteous God. But He's also a God who sent His Son to give His life upon the cross of Calvary, to set us free, and to give us hope, and to give us life. We are called as believers, not just the pastors, not just the elders, not just the deacons, but each one of us, if we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is called to be a blessing to the nations. To step out and to proclaim the truth of God's word. And then finally we see the security through God's promise. God promises the land to Abram and to his offspring. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then the word of God goes on to tell us where Abram then journeyed in the land and where he worshiped the Lord. God honored Abram's faithfulness by promising him a land for his descendants. The promise was to be fulfilled through Abram's own seed, not through Lot as he may once suppose. But the promise would also not be fulfilled during Abram's lifetime. His name would be changed to Abraham, and he would become the father of Isaac. And Isaac would become the father of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob would become the father of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And that nation would grow, and those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ would become spiritual offspring of Abraham. But Abraham never saw that promise fulfilled this side of heaven. And even today, when God calls an individual or a family to step out in faith, to go to a land or to a ministry that He promises to show them, He does not show us the whole picture or how things will go. God simply desires that we would step out in faith, trusting Him to be faithful to His word. Trusting Him to fulfill the promises that He gives. Abram lived as a sojourner in the land of Canaan, and he traveled from place to place, not having a land to call his own. And as he lived as a pilgrim in the land, he never gave up on the promises of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith in verse 8, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. They stepped out in faith, in obedience to the call of God, trusting Him to be faithful to His promises. So how does this apply to you and to me today? God is still a missionary God. His promise to Abraham still holds true, that through the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And God is still calling men and women to Himself today. Today, He calls those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ to go forth as His spokespersons, to go forth as His ambassadors, to share the good news of salvation with those who are lost. And that often means leaving everything around us that is familiar. That often means going to distant lands where the language is strange, where the cultures are strange, leaving behind families. But the question that each one of us must answer is this: If God calls me to go to a new place, to a new ministry, to a new vocation in order to serve Him and to see people won to Christ, am I going to be willing to go? Will I respond in faith like Abram responded to God? Or will I run and give excuses? Run like Jonah, or give excuses like Moses? God is still calling men and women to go out for Him, to be His mouthpieces in sharing the gospel. Will you respond in obedience to His call to service? Whether that is a call to serve Him here in Greenville, South Carolina, or to serve Him in other lands among other cultures. God simply calls us to be faithful and obey. Let's pray together. Father, we come before You this evening, and we do thank You for the call that You gave to Abram. We thank You, Father, that Abram responded in obedience and in faith, trusting You to step out in faith to go to a land that You promised to show him. And Father, for those of us here who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, we are spiritual offspring of Abraham. And we thank You for that blessing. We thank You for blessing us and making us a part of that promise. But Father, I pray that You would show us each one how it is that You would use us, where it is that You would have us to serve. It may be here in Second Presbyterian Church. It may be through the ministries of this church to reach out to those who are lost here in Greenville. Or Father, it may be to go to another land, to another culture, to things that are unfamiliar, to things that are new, and sometimes to things that are frightening to us. But whatever that call may be, Father, my prayer is that we would respond in obedience. My prayer is that we would step out in faith to go where You would lead us and to serve in the place that You would call us to serve, that we would trust You, that we would trust Your promises. And Father, that as we do that, that You would bring joy to our lives, and that You would give us comfort, and that You would remind us of the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.